Reformed Church.
Let me just tell you, I want to just reemphasize something that I had written two articles called Big Plans, Big Rest, something like that. And that's what really makes the plan of God fun, is the fact that you have rest from works. Because it really, even though there are such awesome results, you know, and even if we just talk about the things we typically talk about that applies to all of us, you know, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils, all of that, that's really, really awesome stuff. But it's not awesome if you have to do it yourself, because then it becomes a burden. It becomes really hard. A lot of people, you know, if you've been in like a faith crowd, you know, before, faith type church before, and you'd know what I mean if you've been around, you know, the kind of the faith crowd. It can sometimes be, on one hand, it could be burdensome to get your life right from a moral standpoint, and people get burdened down with that work. But you can equally get burdened down with healing and wanting to see manifestation in your life. You can get burdened down with seeing other people's lack of manifestation, or you're praying for somebody else and you don't see results in their life. And what really is a good thing, being healthy, seeing the dead raised, you know, seeing people that, you know, families had lost a particular person, so to speak, as they would say, and then just seeing them be rejoined with their family. And it's just like this stuff that people think is fantasy is just actually real life for us, and it's great. But it stops being great when you realize you have to do it, or if you thought you had to do it yourself. And so that's what makes the plan of God fun, is that we have rest from works, is that you get the best results and you really don't have to do it yourself. And sometimes people don't know how to perceive that. They think almost you're saying, well, you do have to do it, but God will empower you and he's going to help you doing it. But really, like, God really will do things through you. I mean, really, like, it's true. Like, it's that's actually a real thing. He'll really do things through you. And the more you get your focus on just Jesus and you just see him, the more your desires and the impulses you start getting are not yours anymore. The Lord has, when I've been in prayer before, the Lord has called me, which this would apply to everybody that believes these things, but I'm saying just in my personal time with the Lord, he's called me a vegetable garden. And not a vegetable garden like a garden that grows vegetables, but a vegetable meaning like a mind that's dead, vegetable garden. Garden would mean flesh. So it would mean a flesh with a mind that's dead, a vegetable garden. Like my garden, your body, your mind is dead. The mind of your flesh is dead, if you kind of get what I'm saying. I didn't know what it meant at first either. He just called vegetable garden, okay, and then he explained it. But you don't have to think for yourself. You don't have to think your own thoughts. The Bible says in Isaiah, it's 50-something, I don't know if it's 58, but it says you don't even have to seek your own pleasure. Like, you don't have to do anything for yourself anymore. And granted, that doesn't all roll out in your life all at once. It's a progression. But the more you get your focus on Jesus, there's real rest from works that we have, and that's what makes it so much fun. That anything that God calls you to, 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24, you read those verses, it says that he who calls, particularly verse 24, it says that he who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. It's that he will also do it that makes it fun, what he calls you to. It wouldn't be so much fun if you're trying to make yourself healthy and everybody else healthy. That's not fun. It's fun to be healthy. It's just not fun when you have to do it. It's fun to raise the dead. It's fun to see the dead raised. That's fun. But it's not fun when you have to do it, because all of a sudden now the burden. It's fun, you know, we've talked about ministry opportunities and all this stuff. It's fun to see people ministered to. It's not fun to run a ministry. It's not fun. It's not fun. Christians will say, oh, no, but I think it is fun. But the thing is, any Christian that says that, that's good that they feel that, but those are not their desires. It's only fun if it's the Lord working it through you and you just have this thing from the Lord inside of you and you start, again, it's not something you just purpose to do and say, I'm going to start doing this, I'm going to start doing that, I'm going to start feeling this way. No, you just get your eyes on Jesus. The more you see Jesus, the more you're transformed. 2 Corinthians 3:18. The more you see Jesus, the more you're transformed. And as by the Spirit, it says. So the Spirit, you start feeling things that you know. And I say you know. You may not even know that it's not you, your flesh. But it's not you. You'll start feeling impulses to do things. I mean, like, I can't even explain. There were so many things. Well, I didn't tell Brother Andre this. during praise and worship. I was just worshiping. I see Brother Andre there, and I wanted to put my hand on his back, like, and he goes, pat him on the back afterwards. He goes, and spread your, and he never finished the sentence, or I didn't receive the rest of the sentence, but he made it sound like it was like spread your germs, but he stopped at j, and he was going to finish that, so maybe afterwards he'll finish what he was going to say, because he was going to like spread like your, almost like the life of God, it's like it's contagious. But I got to singing, and I didn't receive that last word of the sentence, but he was like, spread the life of God, essentially, and I wanted to pat him on the back. But you think that's not, like, I didn't come up with that. Like, I could feel like I wanted to put my hand on Brother Andre's back. And it's little things. Just recently, I was like, I'm going to send this person money. Like, oh, I need, and it was the figure in my head and everything. And he said, well, people hear, you know, I used to hear preachers talk about how they would give a word of knowledge to somebody, or they would do this or do that, and I would think, wow, that's so brave to like step out, quote unquote, in faith and say something and be so specific in a prophecy or something like that. And then I came to find out, it's not brave. Is it brave to be just cradled in the Father's arms and Him carry you where you need to go? Is that really brave? Do we find it's brave, you know, for my niece, for instance, you know, for her mom or dad to carry her everywhere she needs to go? That's not bravery, right? She just allows herself to be carried, and that's what living by the Spirit is like. You're being carried. That's what was said of Elijah. Obadiah said, I believe his name was Obadiah, said to Elijah that he said that I'm not going to go and talk to Ahab. He said, because then the Spirit of God is going to carry you, you know, somewhere else, and then we're not going to find you, essentially. And the term there was the Spirit's going to carry you. There's other places in Scripture. I just don't have it offhand, off the top of my head, where it talked about the Spirit carried so-and-so. And, like, that's what happens. So you know how you do prophecy, where you give someone, you know, I gave Ms. Lindsay and Brother Matt a real specific prophecy, you know, not even that long ago, very specific, like within a few weeks, this is going to happen. Like, to where you would know if it didn't happen, it was very specific. And I just kind of looked at the Lord in my mind. I was like, no, Lord, this is you. So this is, I understand the Lord would never do something wrong. But it to alleviate it from me, I was like, Lord, this is your fault then if it's wrong. And of course, I know it's never wrong if it's Him. So that was my point. But I'm like, it's not me then. And gave a specific prophecy. But it's not bravery, because if it were you doing it, it would be brave. If it was your obedience to the Lord to carry out His will and His kingdom upon the earth, then it would be brave. But that's where we have a misunderstanding in the church, don't we? That we think it's our obedience to heal the sick. It's not your obedience to heal the sick. It's not your obedience to heal the sick. It's not your obedience to witness to your friends. It's not your obedience to raise the dead. That would be hard. That would stink. Not that the results stink, but it would be hard if you had to do it. But that's not your obedience. And people have a real hard time. I'm going to get off of this because I want to get to the message. But people have a hard time swallowing that, and it's really because they don't understand obedience of faith. But they have a hard time accepting that that's not my obedience to do these things for the Lord. But think about this for a second. I'll leave you with this last thought. People, I'll say, well, do you believe that's your power or God's power that does these things? People say, oh, by the power of God, because no one would say it's their own power. So how could you claim something as your obedience if it's God's power? That seems like you're not giving credit where it's due. But people say, but you have to do it, and God will empower you. Well, okay, so since we're kind of hedging here a little bit, then how much is you and how much is God? Then let me know. Like, is it Him? Because clearly from that statement of you have to do it, but then God will empower you, clearly it's not fully God, right? Which would mean, if this was true, that God shouldn't get full glory, right? God is a honor to whom honor is due, right? If you do part of it, if you did 10% and He empowered you 90, you get 10% credit. The Bible says the only thing that He should get glory for, and I think it even says in Isaiah chapter 60, also in Isaiah chapter 61, I believe, He says, the work of my hands that I may be glorified. So He only takes glory from what's the work of His hands. If you helped, then He wants you to get credit for it. Now, I'm getting somewhere. This is all sarcastic, if you didn't catch that so far. You get credit for it if you did 10%. So then I want to know, right? We should all know that. You know, if healing the sick, raising the dead, witnessing to our friends, living godly, you know, being a good example, if those are all our obedience, I want to know how much is my part. Because then clearly it's not just faith and believing that's my part, if what you're saying is true. If there's a little piece that's me, and then God empowers me, you need to let me know how much. Because we love to say God gives the glory, it's all His power, and then we put the burden on Christians. Which one is it? It's a little schizophrenic there to say both things at the same time. It's either His power or it's yours, or it's a combination of the two. And Christians live with this combination mentality, so I want to know. Now, if it's really, again, if it's really that I have to do it, and God empowers me, then let's say that's 10% me, 90% God, then it's really not fully by God's power. It is partially by power, partially by might, and partially by his spirit, says the Lord then. That's really what it is. But if it is fully God's power, and if that's really what, I'm not saying it always is in every Christian's life. We still do stuff, right, when we make mistakes and things. We're not fully moving in the full power of God, but that is the point, right? That's what the Lord wants for our life. And we can get there. And if it really is fully God's power, and if really that's where we want to get to, where it's fully the power of God, how can you claim that as your obedience? You can't. You can't claim that as your obedience, and that's why it makes so much sense what the Bible calls it in Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 16, the obedience of faith. Read it in the ASV is the best translation to read it out of, but any translation you'll get the gist. The obedience of faith. God, there is no doing for you in all the new covenant. Nothing. No doing at all. Nothing at all. Just believing in Jesus. Old Testament is doing, New Testament is believing, and particularly on the person of Jesus and what he's done for you. If you do that, you will get things straight in your life, or I'm saying you'll see things straightened in your life. You will. And just say, Lord, show me the specific thing that you need to show me about what Jesus did for this area, then you'll see things become straightened in your life, and you'll get supernatural impulses to not even want to do the things that you used to do. And it's not because you're trying to abstain from sin. It's because you're seeing what Jesus did. It's your high priest's job to be conscious of sin, not your job. It was a high priest is someone who takes the responsibility of sin away from the people and takes care of it himself. That's the high priest's job, Old or New Testament. That's the high priest's job. In the New Testament, we have a high priest that was conscious of our sin, counted them all, took them all on the cross, and he's not even conscious of sin anymore. I'll remember your sins no more because he did the job so well. So it's not your job to take on the job of abstaining from sin and getting your life right and making sure you're healthy and making sure you're witnessing and making sure you're doing all those are all good things and should be done in every Christian's life, but it's not your job to do those things. Your high priest has already provided enough for all those areas, and if you will just believe, they will come out in your life automatically by the Holy Spirit. So we are not people that are called to do something. We are people that are called to believe something. And people say, well, what if Christians live in sin? Well, then there's something they need to believe. Differently. That's true. But it's belief. It's a belief. Belief is the seed that produces the fruit. So if there's lack of fruit, then give someone the seed. And if you're the person that you see a lack of fruit in their life, like we all do, at least in this room right now, then you say, Lord, give me the seed. And you continue to listen to him, and you do it all the more. Even if you're doing well, you do it all the more. And you get that seed in your head, and it produces fruit. Without you having to do it yourself. And that's what makes the plan of God fun. That's why it's so fun. You get all these awesome results, and people might think it's you, and you're like, I'm not doing anything. Like, I'm really not doing anything. I remember when, and same thing, Pastor Jose or Miss Kim or, I remember, times where sometimes you think you teach a good message, sometimes you're like, man, that was like, I just made it through that one. And regardless, people will say, oh, that really helped me this. Sometimes you're wondering too, like, man, that really helped you? Like, gosh, like I was like distracted the whole time or whatever. But and sometimes people will say something, minister to them, and you're like, you don't feel like you're doing that. And you're like, oh, wait, it's because I'm actually not. If it actually was any good, it wasn't me, because I can do nothing, not one thing. It's the Lord that does it. Anything that actually is good, it's because he did it through us. We can do a lot of stuff that's not great. But the Lord does the stuff that's good. So you get the good, awesome plan of God for your life. I promise you that. You get a good, awesome plan of God for your life, but it's not just the awesome plan that you've heard before. People have talked about healing for a very long time. People have talked about even resurrection for a very long time. People have talked about godliness for a very long time. And they'll name these results, and I'm not saying they're not good, but it's typically taught as something that you do. You have the authority, you do it. You have the authority, you do it. It's not fun anymore. It's not the gospel anymore. The law could tell you that much. You shall not covet. It might as well have said, you heal the sick, you raise the dead. No, not you. No, not you. Yet not I, but the grace of God which is with me, and that's fun. You just ride in this wave, and you're just seeing where it's going to take you. That's fun. That's awesome. I think that's even what's fun about sleigh riding or riding a wave or something too, is because you get this exhilarating experience, and you're just sitting there. See, that's the Christian life. That's what you can experience in your life. Just these exhilarating results, and you're like, half the time, I'm not even sure where I'm going until I get there, but it's like the Lord just works through you, and it's really, really cool. Really, really cool. It's a lot of fun. Being a Christian is a lot of fun. You just got to hear the right message, though. It's not so fun when you got to do everything.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.